Okay, here we are. It's hour two. It's Friday, and it's time for Jeff and Erica, and we're here to try to help you make sense of things that are almost imponderable. And I'll start by saying that the evidence that continues to be discerned, turned up, and found by Erica constantly reinforces what we've been saying, that this bioweapon injection is so, I hate to say this, brilliantly conceived in its multitude of ways of killing and ending life. It's staggering. Welcome back, partner.
Thank you. Good to be here again.
Yeah. Have you ever honestly? Yeah, another week gone. Have you ever honestly seen anything like this? The more you look, the more I look, but I'm not the scientist, the more ways you're finding that people can be severely compromised, if not set on a path of destruction by this shot. It is so diverse, and I've been saying that for well over 2 years, and you keep finding things out that underscore that, and finding other things out. It's whoever put this together, it was for one thing only, and that was to kill people, and it is absolutely extraordinary at doing it, and we haven't seen anything yet. We really believe that there are billions of people now who have gotten the Moderna Pfizer configuration of this horror, and they're dying. They're dying at different rates, in different ways, but they're dying, and they're going to have very short lives. I guess that's the best way to phrase it. It's a generality, but it's correct.
Yeah, assuming they got a successful transfection, I mean, I believe the consensus is that there were no deliberate placebos given, that if somebody did, in fact, skate by and get a dud, it was only because of poor manufacturing process or poor transport or poor storage.
Poor storage. We went through that minus 90 degree thing for a while, then that was dropped, and they said, no, room temperature storage or thereabout is okay, and they were changing
course.
Well,
I believe they were able to do that because they made additional modifications to the mRNA. They put more, as if there wasn't enough already, of these N1 methyl pseudouridine substitutions in there, where there should normally be uridine. That's what they replaced with a synthetic uridine to make it super stable, so that it could withstand just being out at room temperature for a period of time, or relatively cool temperatures. You know, didn't have to have the deep freeze to remain stable.
Right. Well, this whole thing has been carried out with a high degree or a high level of satanic competency. They've done very well with it so far, and they're not done. They're going to roll out other things that are, and don't fall into the little trap when you hear that a vax is an mRNA vax. Don't think it's the COVID style mRNA. It's not. This is a technology that they're now reinventing all current vaccines with, and it's not a good technology. It's not something you want in your body, period. Just don't want
No, and there's rumors flying around that the influenza shot right now, the current influenza shot, is mRNA. It's not, at least not officially. That is still
not
in trials, these mock trials that they have. But it's slated for this fall, the upcoming
flu season. They don't even need trials anymore. That's the new rule.
They're just going through the motions, yes.
That's right.
These sham trials.
Yeah. This fall.
But the RSV, the current RSV that was Pfizer approved, that's out right now, that's being foisted on pregnant women, is this just a subunit, protein subunit vaccine. It's not mRNA. However, there is an mRNA version for the RSV vaccine in trials right now for Moderna, and it is expected to be approved.
Well, you bet it'll be approved. It's just the door is open. They didn't walk in with anything.
They are. The point is that they're all going in that direction. We're not going to have any more traditional killed, attenuated protein subunit vaccines. They're all going to be transfection type vaccines.
And in other words, never should you allow a needle to be put into your body again, unless there's some urgent situation which you can't help it. But no elective needles. No.
It's really going to be something when you start. I mean, people have already been transfected now to produce a spike protein, and we've seen how disastrous that has been. Now we're going to put probably influenza next. So people are going to become protein factories, foreign protein factories, for a range of different foreign proteins. I just can't even imagine what the outcome of this is going to be.
Look, our bodies are not ready or prepared for any of this stuff, okay?
It's completely unnatural.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, what you have to go through to get the body to do this, you have to turn off various components of the immune system to get it to produce this foreign protein without destroying the mRNA before it gets translated. And then it's producing, well, in the case of this spike protein, probably the most toxic protein known to man. I would challenge anybody to dispute that at this point.
And then there's the other one that we don't even know what it does, and it's bigger than the
spike.
Yeah,
there's other things in there. Yes, yeah. Yes. Mystery proteins, designer proteins.
Proteins of death. I had another email.
And proteins
today
that can be shed into the environment with unknown consequences.
Constant shedding. We will be talking more about shedding and smells and people smelling that. Erica's working. We're talking about this now. We're going to make a presentation, so to speak, about why some people smell the putrescence or the other issues involved with people who have been injected, and why some don't. That's a very interesting field. Very interesting. So stay tuned for that. Not tonight, but very soon. We'll be talking about that. Now, in the meantime, we have an invasion of these formerly United States of America going on 25 hours a day. The border is non-existent in many places. We know that the military has gone down there to aid and abet the invaders coming in. We don't know how many Chinese communist nationals are in here. We do know that there are 5.4 million Chinese, largely communist nationals in the country altogether already. So if you want to be not paranoid but pragmatic, and you're thinking about communist China wanting to take this country down, take it over, how would they do it? Well, one of the ways is to infiltrate into the country umpteen soldiers or soldierettes, whichever you want, both men and women. These are tough people. They're coming over here by the tens of thousands. If we have 5.4 million Chinese nationals here now, take 10% of that, right? That's 500,000 troops. Take 20%. That's over 1 million troops. 20% fighting age, communist Chinese nationals here, armed with ammunition, weaponry. They could be turned loose on this country and take it down. 1 million troops. We don't have that many troops here. No chance. And of those we have here, many of them are dressed in pink. So how are they going to fight? This is not looking good. I mean, I hope it doesn't happen. I hope the globalists have decided that, no, China is not to invade the U.S., not to take it down, but to come in and buy it up, as the Chinese have been doing for the last how many decades now? 4 or 5 at least. They've been buying stuff all the time. So you don't buy something you're going to conquer. So maybe there's some solace in that. I don't know. Meanwhile, these invaders they're not making their way. They're being implanted, impregnated, if you will, into our major cities, especially the blue cities. Any communist or liberal city is loaded with invaders. And New York City is the king on the throne that is being taken down. New York is full, loaded with invaders. And we're going to play a little video here that Erica found. And it makes mention quite clearly, you're going to hear someone who works in a very large hotel that currently has, I believe he said, wasn't it 5,000 invaders housed in it?
Was it that many? I
2,000? Whatever. It's a huge number of people.
It's a big hotel. People. Yeah.
Big. It's 100% full of invaders who do not speak English.
It sounds like it, it was used to be maybe a five-star hotel. You know, it's not Skid Row by any means. It's a nice, hotel.
So they've taken the hotel over. The city has given it to them. It is full. We don't know how many others are similarly occupied. And these people in the hotels come up here with no appreciable language skills, no work ethic, very sickly in many cases, carrying all manner of things from tuberculosis to Hansen's disease and Chagas, which is a death sentence, and they're being put up in these hotels. And what the guy says, I think he's some kind of a coordinator at the hotel for these invaders. He's Spanish, I believe, Latino. What he says is enough to curl your hair and make you angry at the same time. These people are being given everything, even Uber fare, to take themselves to the hospital if they've overdosed on alcohol. It's crazy. So three live births a day in the hotel on the average, right? They're cranking them out. They're not being forced to take the vax. Most of them are wised up, and they know not to take it. So they're not going to be dealing with the stuff that most Americans of good faith and who got tricked are now having to deal with. So let's take a listen to this. I'll stop it a few times. I want to apologize. The audio is a little bit choppy, but I'll see if I can clarify anything that may need to be pointed out as extremely important in this interview. The reporter does a good job. The guy, again, is apparently some kind of a coordinator in this huge hotel, one of apparently many that are full, F-U-L-L, with illegal invaders and so forth, whatever you want to call them. Here we go.
New York City, the thriving and fast-paced metropolis, is currently in a state of emergency as over 60,000 illegal immigrants have made their way into the area. Mayor Eric Adams has recently declared that 50% of the hotels in the city are now filled with migrants, and for the first time, we're getting an exclusive look at what the inside of one of these hotels looks like.
Over half the hotels in New York City are full of invaders. And this is the first look at one of those hotels packed to the rafters with invaders and what it's like on the inside.
We sat down with whistleblower Carlos Arellano, who worked inside the Row NYC for the past 7 months. This hotel, located one block from Times Square, previously rented rooms for $500 a night.
All right, one block from, forgive the interruptions, I can't understand half the words myself. One block from Times Square, $500 a night hotel. Full now, given over to housing invaders that hate us.
It is now the largest migrant hotel in New York City.
So in the hotel, we have close to 5,000 migrants.
It was 5,000. 5,000 invaders in one hotel, three births a day. Here's the coordinator again.
Between 4,800 to 5,000. It's the biggest hotel out there that's housing migrants. They house 5,000 people together in 28 floors.
You have the NYC badge, so you are a city employee, correct?
Yes, I was a site administrator at the Row Hotel. Anything involving this hotel, I was helping run it.
So anything involving the hotel, he was helping run it, so he knows. And again, it was obviously a very nice, classy hotel, one block from Times Square.
Migrants make when they are bused in is the Port Authority bus station. It's at this station that they are first dropped off, assigned a hotel, and sent to locations such as the Row NYC. So when a migrant comes to the hotel, what is the process?
Okay, they're bused to New York. You've seen the buses. We ran the video of the gap down there, Darien Gap in Panama.
Yep.
And those buses were enormous. So they go right to New York, apparently. They let them right across the border. They go right to the New York Transit Authority, get off the buses and get processed and taken to their hotels. Better treatment than most American travelers get.
They're taken to our intake center, which is they just register their name, how many kids, and they give them room. With our medical team is where they determine if they need certain vaccinations, which are usually turned down by the migrants. They don't want them. But a lot of the time, they will have some kind of sickness to them, and that's when they're Ubered out to hospitals that work with the migrant hotel.
Okay, he's saying that they're offered the vax, but most of them aren't taking it. They figured it out. If they have some kind of sickness to them, he said, they're Ubered out to the nearest hospital. It's all on our dime, your dime, okay? Now, you people around the world may be seeing similar things. I don't know. But here, this country is clearly being taken down. There's no question.
Everything from doctor's visits to medication is paid for the migrants.
Everything from doctor care, hospital visit to medication is paid for. They have no worries for the rest of their lives.
We have a document where car seats can also be provided for the migrants as well, correct?
Yes, car seats, cribs for newborn.
Car seats, cribs.
I want to say at least 2 to 3 babies a week being born at this hotel.
On top of free medical...
Sorry, 2 to 3 babies a week are born in the hotel, not a day.
And transportation. Carlos also shares that the migrants receive laundry services, housekeeping, and 3 meals a day alongside their hotel room.
Anything you can possibly think of is being given to them. Around 200 to 300 naturopaths a day are given for free.
Anything you can possibly think of is being given to them free. 200 to 300 metro cards a day are being given to them. I guess that's for the year big city wise. What do you think? That means subway,
yeah, well,
bus,
yeah, free, maybe? Free subway, free access to the subway, or you know, buses.
Mm-hmm. Metro card, no charge, no problem.
Services, you know, ID NYC, they have IDs from New York.
And what can you do with those IDs?
Well, a lot of people...
He's talking now about ID NYC. It's a New York City ID card. And he's going to explain now what they can do with that card.
Hotels are working with that ID. Aside from that, they're receiving, I've seen food stamps, cards arrive. A lot of services that are provided to them just for having this ID.
And then my other question for you too is, how much does it cost per day to feed these migrants?
So in our hotel, it's $383 for 5,000 people, and that's just for one day's worth of meals.
$383 per person per day for food for 5,000 people. Free medical, free transportation. Americans are being made to eat fertilizer. They get nothing. Nothing. This is called the overthrow of the country. They're rotting it. They're coring it out from the inside.
February of this year, it was reported that Mayor Eric Adams signed a $275 million contract that would fund the migrants staying in hotels across the city for the next 6 months, a budget of around $55,000 per migrant. However, the city is running out of hotel rooms, with Adams stating that some hotels don't want to sell to migrants. Carlos provided us with an inside look at the Go NYC that may give us an insight as to why.
The migrants being in those hotels have destroyed them. There's a lot of alcohol in these rooms. Housekeeping is there all week. And they'll clean it, and by the end of the night, there's kids getting drunk together. There's people hooking up with each other. I even have seen reports of certain managers who are using this to get intimate with people.
All right, the managers are having sex with the invaders. And vice versa. housekeeping is still in the rooms all the time. They try and go in every day. They clean up the room, and he's saying by the, I don't know how much of this you can hear, by the evening the rooms are just destroyed again. There's beer bottles, booze bottles, trash, broken things everywhere, trash everywhere. These people don't give a damn about what they're getting here. They've died and gone to heaven, and they have no appreciation of it. None. Zero.
The hotel is one big party. There's multiple guns in these rooms as well. The alarm is the
multiple guns in the rooms.
This hotel is meant to be a family hotel. One situation that I'll never forget was I was on my lunch break and I was at Walgreens, and while I was in line, I saw one of the migrants sticking alcohol into their children's backpack. And they stick them in the children's backpack because they know we wouldn't dare to touch a child's backpack. They do this kind of stuff all the time, whether it be drugs, whether it be alcohol, whether it be a gun. They stick it in the stroller, under the baby.
During just our short time investigating the location outside of the hotel, we ourselves witnessed a migrant so drunk he could barely stand. But alcohol isn't the only issue at the Rail NYC. Carlos shared incident reports and internal text messages detailing gunmen on the premises, children getting drunk, and migrants stealing from local businesses surrounding the hotel.
You were actually showing me some text messages between a social worker about a drunk 10-year-old in this hotel. Can you talk to us about what happened there?
Yeah, it was a drunk 10-year-old who was caught with a 14 and a 12-year-old, and all three of them were intoxicated. And when we looked them up in the system, the parents had checked out 2 days ago.
So the parents just left them there?
Yeah, the parents will leave the kids unattended in the hotel, and they think it's okay to leave for a day or two, sometimes even a week.
And you actually...
So the parents, Erica, this is hard to believe. The parents just leave 2-3 kids behind. Kids have booze, alcohol, money, free food. They get 3 meals a day. What is it, $300 a day plus $350 a day per person? $50,000 for every 6 months per invader is being poured into them. How can a city honestly continue to function at all like this? How much longer does it have?
How many upstanding tax-paying citizens are left.
Who's going to stay around that?
No, but there are. I just wonder. Do they not look out their window and see this? I mean, how do you live amongst that?
Well, if you own a business, they're coming in and looting your businesses, and they're
right.
The New York City or state, both attorneys general.
Well, it begs the question: what do they intend to do with these people? What is their plan for them?
Right.
Just to wreak havoc and.
Don't know. Already, they are taking the cities down. The cities cannot function like this much longer. It's not going to happen. The lawlessness will now begin to present itself. Because these people are picking up a sense of entitlement and arrogance and condescension. And they don't like Whitey. Remember that. The whole bottom line theme is hate Whitey.
Well, again, so there's no economy. What are these people going to do? Just sit around and do what?
Keep sucking off the largesse of the society they're in now. And they'll just drain
but,
it.
Okay, and until when? I'm looking
that's
ahead.
A good question. Yeah, very good.
What's
question.
The real plan for these people?
There is one. I don't know what it is. They're literally worthless, useless to this
mm-hmm.
culture.
Mm-hmm.
They hate it. They want to tear it down. Even if they think anything, I'm not sure they do. That's what their goal would be. They hate gringos. All right, let's just listen to another little bit, then we got to move to Dr. Naomi Wolf.
Provide us with a couple of incident reports. Let's go ahead and go over some of them, specifically the incident report where you have gunmen walking around the hotel talking about the situation.
we heard a security guard start yelling, there's a gun on site, there's a gun on site. It was probably an upset person that we had kicked out of the hotel, and it sent the whole hotel into a panic. And this is an everyday thing. I myself have been assaulted. I've seen other people get assaulted. I've had threats saying, you know, we'll be waiting for you guys outside. There's been times where staff have had to be, you know, escorted to their cars, to their trains.
Because the migrants are threatening them.
Yeah.
And why is that happening?
Okay, that's enough. The idea that he's presenting is that the hotels are still fully staffed, and they're trying to deal with 5,000 invaders that have packed the hotel. Housekeeping, all the necessary maintenance, all of that is a big building. It's like a mini city, and it's now being taken over. I mean, these people are getting services nonstop. All right, well, there you go. There's that little look. I hope you can understand some of it, and I think we got it all out there. This is just staggering.
Yeah, the video, the visual of the video is really
right.
Sobering.
Yeah, we'll put it up later on. Okay, well, there's a glimpse inside of a blue city, a communist city, communist government, and that's the kind of law and order they lay down. So what he was saying at the end there is that others who have already been here, invaders, go into the hotel with guns and machetes and knives and apparently do all sorts of things. Anyhow. All right, I'm just appalled at what I just saw, and we will put the video up for you a little later. Okay, Naomi Wolf has a video. You want to set that up for us?
Yeah, this one, she's giving a speech. I don't know what conference or event this was, but this is a short clip, about 6 minutes of describing. She and her team of analysts have been going over with a fine-tooth comb all of the Pfizer documents that have been released to the public, and there's just no end to them. And this one... I guess implicates Pfizer's intention, deliberate intention, of trying to design a vaccine or an injection that would keep women from having children or healthy children. It's rather damning.
Had another email today. I won't mention any names, but a man in his early 60s had a 45-year-old girlfriend. He was vaxxed. She got pregnant, lost the pregnancy, miscarried at a couple, 3 months. I think that's what it was. And we want to go back to this issue of reproductive death. That's one of the big, it's not a target, it's one of the big designed results of being injected. Now, as we've made clear, according to pathologist Dr. Arne Burkhardt in Germany, males, and other people have certified this, males often no longer are producing sperm. Their testes have been taken over by spike protein. So that's what they're exchanging during the act of sex. And these women are being literally destroyed with sex. Because the
Remember that one incident we had. It was a newlywed, and he was vaxxed, and she wasn't. And shortly after their honeymoon, or the night of, next morning, she was bleeding uncontrollably. She ends up in the hospital, and within about 2 weeks, she's diagnosed with leukemia.
She got blasted with spike, and it's she might as well have been roll up her sleeve, injected with it. It's a different kind of injection.
You know, it almost seems
it's the same.
In the days after, immediately after someone has been injected, it's almost as if they are amplifying what they've been injected with so that if somebody comes into contact with them, they get some sort of potentiated dose of the stuff.
It's pretty crazy. All right, here's Naomi Wolf on Pfizer's depopulation agenda as evidenced by its own documents. Okay.
Thousands of years is have sex and have babies. You know, without any intervention.
Let me start that again.
I mean, one thing people have been able to do for thousands of years is have sex and have babies. You know, without any intervention or help from anyone else. It's a tremendous way that the human race is self-reliant, that it can survive catastrophe. Well, the tech bros and probably China, and I'll get to that, want to take that away from us. This is clear in the Pfizer documents. So, again, I talked about a war on women. There's a section of the Pfizer documents in which Pfizer breaks down the adverse events and concludes that women sustain 72% of them. And of those, and these are Pfizer's words, 16% are quote-unquote reproductive disorders, compared to 0.49% for men. So they're very focused on reproduction, on female reproduction. And I was asked, it's my belief that they were trying to disrupt, especially female reproduction. And the question is, how do I know that? And the answer is from the structure of what they looked at. Again, I'm a literary critic, but that, like, this is a mystery novel in which the question is, how do we stop women from having healthy babies? That's the story of the Pfizer documents. So in the Pfizer documents, there's a chart. And again, Dr. Chandler found this and wrote about it. And as a woman, this is one of the most painful things to see. And I'm Jewish, and my grandmother, as I mentioned, lost 9 brothers and sisters to the Holocaust. So I don't say this lightly. But this chart is a Mengele type of chart. It's Mengele science. Why is it Mengele science? Because they break down 20 different horrible things that can happen to women's menstruation. In completely neutral clinical language, they describe them, and there are tens of thousands of women in each category. Bleeding every single day of your life. Having 2 periods a month. Having no periods ever, meaning no babies. There's now a group in France called Où est mon cycle? Where's my cycle? To agonizing cramps, hemorrhages, things I won't even describe to you. And they just note them calmly, one by one by one. And I'm looking at ruined lives, not to mention super strange things they brought about, like 10-year-old girls menstruating on first being injected, long postmenopausal women in their 80s and 90s bleeding again after being injected. Well, Pfizer, wasn't enough just to watch women be ruined. Again, I keep saying this is a respiratory pathogen. Why are they so focused on sex? At one point, they mate vaccinated male rats and unvaccinated female rats. Then they kill them, and they dissect and look at the cells of their sexual organs. Okay? So they're very, very focused on mammalian sexuality. And you don't need to be a rocket scientist. You need 8th grade math to guess that if women are having horrible menstrual problems in 2021, they're going to be fertility problems in 2023, right? So now it's 2023. Igor Chudov compared databases in countries around the world. There are 1 million missing babies in Europe. They never got born. Double the number of miscarriages and spontaneous abortions in Scotland. 13 to 20% drop in live births around the world. 2 or 3 times the number of spontaneous abortions and miscarriages in Tel Aviv as before, and so on around the world. And now we know why. Now we know the mechanism. So it is an attack not just on humanity, it's an attack on our future. I'm really worried that I just found out after being censured by Ofcom, so this is the second Western government that's gone after me and my team. Ofcom is the UK media regulator that decided that I was guilty of harm by telling women about these dangers and men on a British news show called GB News. It's not just an attack on us. It's not just a mass murder, which is the language that Ofcom objected to, but it's an existential attack. And think about it chronologically. I'm very worried that a source in Britain said that they wanted to embargo this information for 20 years, because I'm like, what do they expect to have happened in 20 years? But I think we're going to see, I think this is the tip of the iceberg, you know, from understanding. We've got to, you know, we've got a report on turbo cancers, we've got a report on strokes, we've got a report on, you know, liver damage, kidney damage. I don't want to depress you, but all around you are people who are suffering from illnesses. None of their doctors are telling them that these illnesses are in the Pfizer documents as side effects, and that we now understand the mechanisms of them. And if you want to know what's happening to your loved ones, please read the reports on dailycloud.io. They're free, or order the book, please, on Amazon. It has all of it right there. But all around you, all around me, are people suffering and dying from side effects that are in these documents.
And as we have, that's the end of it. And as we have said ad nauseum, people are walking around that you'll see every day who are on the path to grave physical illness and disability and ultimately death. And you can't tell by looking. And many of them don't even know they're sick because of the disabling, which we've made clear, of the symptomology the body usually produces when it is under attack by any pathogen or any other kind of issue that would result in poor health. You'll have symptoms. But that reflex, that symptomology that we rely upon, it's an alarm. It's turned off.
Yeah.
So these people don't know they're dying. They don't know they're sick. They don't know they have turbo cancer. They don't know a lot of things. And the more we find out, the more diverse this assault on life is. It's astounding. Dr.
Yeah,
Chetty was right.
That's the,
He hit it right. I don't know how he knew. He said two years ago, this is the deadliest thing mankind has ever created. He was right.
And these people are now producing that protein within their bodies.
And offering it to anyone who wants to come around and pick it up.
Conceivably.
Shedding.
You know, there's always the question of when does the shedding stop? And nobody knows. It may go on forever. And I suspect that it may be worse at certain times. Now, Dr. Daniel Nagase thinks that as people get sicker, they produce more of the protein or shed more of the protein. That may be true. It may be that their immune systems are exhausted and they're no longer able to neutralize this toxic protein that's being produced. But I would surmise that also diet can influence how much of this protein somebody is going to produce. For one thing, it's very, very rich in methionine residues. And methionine is an amino acid that's in very high amounts in meat. So if somebody is eating a high-protein, meat-based diet, they might be apt to produce more of this protein. I've also heard anecdotally that somebody who went vegetarian after having had the jab was able to ameliorate their symptoms, spike protein-related symptoms, just by going vegetarian. So when you go vegetarian, you typically have much less methionine in the diet, so you would have much less methionine to contribute to spike production. Those are things to think about. They may be hormonally related. If somebody's under stress, maybe they produce more, or conversely, maybe they produce less of this protein. There's a lot of variables. So there's no hard and fast answer. You cannot assume that because it's been 2 years since their last vax that they're not still producing the protein.
No,
and I think many people that are sensitive to shedding will confirm that.
Right. Yes, correct. Okay. There are a couple of looks at what's going on out there. It's quite a show. How many stories have you seen on the mainstream media talking about 5,000 invaders being kept 100% free to them at a very fine upscale New York hotel? You'll never hear it. It's all covered
up. No. You don't even really see what's going on at the border.
No, you don't know. No. Nope. Okay. Let's go ahead and take a look at some of our people reports here, because they have no voice. They have no platform at all, except for these small social media groups where they can reach out for help and consolation and maybe some kind of guidance. At least it'll make them feel better. Their doctors aren't able to give them anything except tests. Tests and more tests, and I'm not sure.
Yeah, tests that really don't reveal anything.
No. Okay, we have about 6 minutes, something like that, seven. So where do we go here?
Let's see. May 31st, or do we want to go back a little bit? Or
well, May 24th, we have shedding symptoms. We have shingles from shedding. We've got more smells. Still shedding 1 year later. There's four at the bottom of that group that look okay.
All right.
How about shedding symptoms? Go ahead.
Okay. So I wanted to say I was okay for months while secluding myself from vaxxed people. Now, a non-vaxxed family member is staying with me, but is around vaxxed people daily. When they get home, I get very sick. Head symptoms, heart skips a beat, leg pain, etc. Someone says, sounds like secondary shedding to me. Another one says, make them immediately shower and throw their clothes in the wash. It works like a charm. When my husband is around the vaxxed, I feel the same way. And another recommendation, take your shoes off during the day and ground yourself with the earth's energy. This will help you big time, and do it as often as you can.
See, that's another topic we need to spend more time on when we get more data. Secondary shedding. So that person was doing a good job, and then the other person hanging around the shedding, bringing it home, apparently.
Yeah, it does seem to stick to clothing. You know, that's conceivable. Think about, what would be a good analogy? Well, the asbestos workers, they used to come home with this dust on their clothes and they could make their family members sick. But, I mean, I equate it to almost a radioactive particle, you know, radioactive dust. It's poison.
It's poison. It lasts. It doesn't disintegrate or dissipate in a few minutes or a couple of days. It lasts longer than that. I don't know how long. It would depend upon the environment it's in. We do know that HIV outside the human body in a non-hostile liquid environment could last a month. No problem. So,
well, maybe, but you know, I think we're really talking here about peptides. Now, peptides are components of a protein. Now, it's conceivable that
Erica's right. This is important to consider, and it's kind of a new concept. But go ahead, peptides, pieces of spike. All right.
Yeah, pieces of spike. A peptide is a group of amino acids, a short chain of amino acids. Amino acids are what make up a protein. And it's seeming as though there are sequences of peptides within the spike protein that are more potent and more toxic by themselves than the entire spike protein. And we already have some evidence of that with the blood clotting studies that were done, showing that when a spike protein was cleaved by neutrophils in the bloodstream, it revealed these amyloidogenic sequences, which would cause blood to clot, even in the absence of platelets, which platelets are typically what's needed to start the whole coagulation cascade. These amyloidogenic sequences, which are just bits of the spike protein, cause the blood to clot all on their own. And so because they have that propensity to cause that type of coagulation, or it's actually an aggregation of proteins, they can do that, have that same effect when they come into contact with other proteins in the body, the most concerning being neurological proteins. But if you're breathing these peptides in, you know, they're getting into the bloodstream and going systemic within minutes, and just like these mycotoxins that we discussed last week. And how readily do they break down? They may not break down. That's the thing about amyloids. They're basically resistant,
right,
to degradation.
They seem to have no natural predators, might put it that way, too. They keep going. They're very strong, and they're resistant to almost anything we can conjure up. All right, here's the next post. I know shedding is real. I had my own experience. I got shingles. And by the way, these shingles, some of the cases, maybe most, are horrific. It's not like a little rash of lesions somewhere. People get nailed with it.
Yeah.
Half their back, half their front, half their leg. It's just horrible, painful lesions. Now, remember, these are, if I'm correct, those eruptions and lesions on the skin are often tied to the neurology in the skin itself, because the shingles love nerves and they live in the nerves. So that triggers the pain response. These nerves scream in pain. So
yeah, and sometimes you can get shingles internally, and which can be really bad. You'll be sick, but you won't have that telltale rash because it's the damage is actually internally.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been many cases of that.
All right, let me repeat what she said. I know shedding is real. I had my own experience. I got shingles after I hugged a freshly jabbed friend. But I didn't know she was jabbed back then. It was horrible. The pain was unbearable, and it lasted for a month. Since then, I am careful. So lesson learned in that case. Smells. Go ahead.
Okay. Seriously, my neighbors make it smell when they come outside. It's like clockwork. No smell. They come outside. Smells like someone used fabric softener to wipe their butt, then died before they finished and rotted there in a hot puddle for a while.
I'm sorry. That's a very good description. That's very clever. All right, we will have more to say about this smell issue and why some smell the smell and some don't. At least it's we're discussing it. There's some pieces of information that may be helpful in that regard. Just because you don't smell it doesn't mean it's not there. It means that maybe you're not able or predisposed to smelling it yet. So there's that possibility. Anyway, we'll get to that next week maybe. All right, here's the last one. Still shedding, 1 year later. My girlfriend and I had to split up 12 months ago due to horrible shedding problems for me. She had two. I knew the scam from day one. Two shots. We've gotten back together, and it's much reduced, but it's still there. How is this possible? She must be making it in her body. So this guy, they're back together, but he's He's getting pounded.
Yeah.
It's not good. Not good.
I said, a year later, you can't assume that it fades away.
No. No. All right, we've got a good bunch in the May 31st group on smells. We should save that. Anything you remember in the May 31st group that we can duck in real quick?
How about time frame for shedding sickness? No. Let's see.
Appearances can be deceiving. What is that?
Okay. Oh, well, this is pertaining to people that have been vaxxed and look normal.
Got it.
This is a good answer. This person says, it's hard to know exactly what's happening, but I just found out at least two young RNs, nurses, and maybe more, have new cancers and are taking lots of time off. Then they come back to work to keep their benefits. They just seem skinnier than usual and much grumpier and easily angered, but more or less seem to function okay with many colds and flus, etc. Many are taking lots of time off and sick time off and leave work early for doctor's appointments. They do not share with me, but they do with each other. It's going to get worse, I think. But they do not share with me because they were incredibly cruel with me because I have a religious exemption. I wish they would wake up and connect the dots.
Yeah, well, if they've got cancer and can't connect the dots, then they don't want to connect the dots. They're in the business, for God's sakes. They're seeing this all the time. Okay, that's our Friday hour of information for you to consider. We don't claim to have all the answers, but we're working very hard to stay up to speed and ahead of most of the crowd and to give you the best information we can. Anything you want to add here real quick?
No, that should do it.
You're always so polite. You say, no, I'm good night. Okay. Good job.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Have a good weekend, everyone.
We'll be right back with hour number 3 for you after this.